And welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a project of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX and the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. This program is made possible through underwriting by Joan Gellert Sargent. Fred Monroe continues to host the program from home with continuing concerns about protecting us all from the COVID-19 virus. Fred and his guests today are from the San Luis Obispo Council of County Council of Governments, SLOCOG, and they will help us to better understand regional transportation planning and how local governments work together to facilitate the long-range planning needed to keep our county viable and an outstanding place to live, work, and play over the next decades. You're invited to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation. Call us at 805-549-8855, or you can email your questions to voices@kcbx.org. Now let's join Fred and his guests. Over to you, Fred.
Thank you, Brad. Glad we're here today and welcome everyone. Central Coast Voices has been around for a while now. What we're trying to do is make sure that that the community has a better understanding of what's available to them to proceed and make this a wonderful place to live. One of the questions that comes up is, what are your transportation priorities for the next 20 years? I realize with what's going on and has gone on for the last 2 years, thinking about how you're going to get around the county 20 years from now is maybe not very high on your list, but it's something that our friends at SLOCOG are thinking about. What may be your concerns? What are regional things that you think are happening that you're glad to see? What regional things are not happening that you want to take a better look at? And how do things like non-automotive transportation play into what you would like to see for a better life on the Central Coast? These are challenges that SLOCOG looks at. That's the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. And my guests today are James Worthley. He's the Regional Planning Division Chief for SLOCOG, and Anna Devers, and she is the Public Information Officer for SLOCOG. You can be part of this discussion, as we remind you often, and that is if you want to give us a call at 805-549-8855 or email us at voices@kcbx.org. I'll remind you, if you're emailing us questions and information, we don't necessarily have the ability and the time within our hour to really get into a lot of in-depth responses to questions. But if you do email at voices@kcbx.org, I will make sure your email is forwarded on to my guests from SLOCOG. And I can tell you that the SLOCOG staff is very diligent at responding to concerns in the community. It's one of the things that keeps them vibrant in the process. We probably need to start with an explanation of what in the world SLOCOG is, because I'm sure that we on a regular basis find that an awful lot of people don't know what it is. There are public meetings every couple of months for SLOCOG, and not a vast attendance at those on a regular basis. I did forget to include one disclaimer I need to put in here, and that is for clarification, even though it's not really part of the discussion today. I formerly, as a city council member in Grover Beach, served as Grover Beach's city delegate to SLOCOG, and I still serve as a Citizens Transportation Advisory Committee member to SLOCOG, and that's something that I'm involved into today. I don't think it taints the conversation by any means, but it's very good for our listeners to understand that I've got a long-term interest in what SLOCOG does. Okay, so what is the best elevator definition of what in the world SLOCOG is all about, guys?
Sure, I'll start with this one. For those of you who aren't familiar with SLOCOG, we're an association of local governments that represent the entire region. That region shares the borders with SLO County. So our board has 12 elected members, one from each city council. All of the county board supervisors also sit on it. Now, our primary responsibilities include transportation, planning, and funding for the region, while serving as a forum for the study and resolution of other regional issues like housing and homelessness. Regional agencies like us plan and fund local transportation systems, And when we plan for transportation, we plan for all modes of travel. So if it includes cars, buses, trains, bikes, walkability, senior shuttles, other social services, transportation, we played a part in delivering that project or service. It's important to note that we work directly with the cities and county to allocate funding so that they can deliver projects. Sometimes if you actually step back and think Council of Governments, the name suggests what we are. We're a group of local governments that come together to work on issues that are broader than just one jurisdiction. Issues like transportation, land use, and air quality, well, they need regional solutions because they don't stop at the boundary of any one local jurisdiction. Also, what a lot of the folks on this call might know us better for is our regional rideshare program. They provide a number of programs, services, and events like the Back and Forth Club, which is an employer commute program. They also work on safe routes to school, bike to work day, rideshare week, park and ride lots. We have a traveler information service called 511. Our Know How to Go program, which focuses on helping seniors and people with disabilities understand their transportation options. And so these are the programs and services that we deliver. And like I said, we our ultimate responsibility is providing that funding for large capital projects that happen in jurisdictions across our county.
And I'll add on to that a little bit. One of our most recent programs that we've started is the Freeway Service Patrol. So if you've driven through the Shell Beach Straits or Cuesta Grade recently during commute hours, you might see this white tow truck that seems to be always there helping someone. And this is our new system that's helping clear problems or help people that have run out of gas to get them out of the way so that congestion doesn't back up, exacerbated by that one car, one vehicle, or the one accident that occurs during that time. And then we do serve we wear multiple hats. We're a federal designation as a metropolitan planning organization. And what that means is we receive federal funds to put on our transportation projects. And those federal funds come with strings attached that we have to accomplish the right things for the federal agencies that oversee us, make sure that we're spending the money correctly. And then we have another designation of the Regional Transportation Planning Agency. And that is similar, except it's a state designation. And with that comes state funding and state strings, of course. So we're not alone in the state as a regional agency focused on transportation. They're up and down California. They're actually all the way across the country. So we have many sister agencies around the country that we recognize and look toward and identify with.
My observation as I'm listening to your comments is that, and my recollections are that a good portion, if not a majority, of the federal and state transportation dollars that come through our county either get administered for some program through SLOCOG, or at least SLOCOG becomes a critical input source about how that should be dealt with. If that's not correct, please correct me as far as percentage wise, but I'm curious if that isn't still the way it goes, as I understand.
That's pretty much it. That's right. So we're watching the federal and state dollars very closely, whether they're coming to us or through us, or even if they're going to Caltrans or to the local agencies, our seven cities in the county, to assure that they're being spent in a comprehensive and coordinated and appropriate manner.
So if one of the communities in San Luis Obispo County is looking at grant funding that they've seen available, let's say for a dial-a-ride program expansion, that may be something that you're not necessarily administering for them, but the fact of whether or not that is money well spent, I'm assuming the state or federal funding source looks to SLOCOG as a good adjudicator of the value of the program.
Yes, in a nutshell, that's right. So we have a program called the Federal Transportation Improvement Program, and the simple answer to that is it's a database that identifies where the money's coming from and where it's going and when, to assure that we're and these other agencies are spending the money appropriately.
Okay. The board that you have, which Anna explained very clearly, and it's pretty simple and straightforward. It's all the Board of Supervisors and one representative from the city government. I still suspect, even though I've known about SLOCOG for years because of my involvement, that a vastly large portion of the county population doesn't know about you unless you do something they're not happy with, and then they really know about you. As staff members, have you seen this to be an ongoing challenge for and now decades?
Oh, absolutely. Getting our name out there has been a challenge for decades. And the fact that I'm guessing a lot of listeners don't know who we are, attests that. We celebrated our 50th anniversary a couple of years ago in 2018. And a lot of people don't understand the projects or the investments that SLOCOG has made in each of the local communities and local cities where they live. And when we look at the list of projects or improvements that have been made, it's like, well, there's items in every city and every smaller community even that SLOCOG has either contributed dollars to or planning for to help get these projects built.
Anna, you mentioned something that I suspect even more people have never heard of, and that's the Back and Forth Club. And even though I suspect that's not has not been historically a major focus of your planning operations, it's in the area of implementation of something that really works. And I think we may want to visit that, because my hunch is if you could find more employers that wanted to participate in that, that would make you a lot happier. Can you explain that program? Give us an idea who's participating in it and why it matters to them.
So the Back and Forth program, you know, it is that commuter program, and getting you described it actually very well. As far as the participants, I would have to defer to the rideshare team as far as the current employers. I know actually coming out of the pandemic, of course, there were a lot of things that shifted there too. So there might be some new employers that they've added on and some that may have gone in that time period because they didn't have as many people commuting to work if they were working from home during that time.
But is that giving people the tools to learn how to put a commuter program together, or is it also giving them vehicles or providing access to vehicles for them to indeed have a rideshare program?
This coordinates it and provides the resources and the tools to help get those programs going. Now they have like van pool coordination that they do as well. The rideshare program does as well. And when they do that, they identify people who are traveling to different, you know, from certain areas to certain areas and ride match them so that they're able to carpool or vanpool together.
Mm-hmm. I want to remind our listeners that they can be part of this discussion by giving us a call at 805-549-8855 or emailing us at voices@kcbx.org. We're not back taking live calls on the radio right now, unfortunately, since we're still doing this by primarily Zoom, which also means if you call into the number, your question will get recorded by someone at the station, and it will still get presented so it can be part of the topic today. I would encourage you to do so. Some of the things that we might want to talk about, and you as listeners may want to talk about, is what your concerns are about our transportation system now, what bothers you about what is not being done, what kind of projects would you like money spent on. There is a program we can probably get into a little bit called Unmet Needs that gets addressed at SLOCOG. And so those may be some of the areas that people want to talk about, which brings up a topic I hadn't thought about for a long time, which is the Unmet Needs survey that SLOCOG has to do. the word unmet needs seems rather straightforward, but it's probably how it fits in transportation may not necessarily be clear to everybody. Can we explain that program?
We can try. So unmet needs is really the department or purview of another staffer, but really we go through an unmet needs process every year. Right around, I believe it's December through February is when we're asking the public, what do you see out there that in transportation that if it was installed or improved or funded could make transportation better? Largely it's focused on transit agencies, but we've expanded to bicycle as well. And we take unmet bike needs. So what are the list of requests or improvements that people might find for transit or cyclists? But we'll take that and put it any time of the year. But when we bring it to the board with the full list of what we've heard, the public process really opens up in December and closes in February. I don't know if it concludes until April.
So I think for a lot of people who are listening today, and even the ones who were aware of SLOCOG before we started this discussion today, my hunch is that oftentimes in the category of misconceptions, that people believe that SLOCOG has done nothing for their community. So I guess the regionalness of what you do for some folks may get in the way of them feeling like what you're doing really affects them. I don't know, Anna, how do you answer that? I mean, you're, as a public information professional, I'm sure that's the kind of thing that you get faced with often. And what do people say to you on a hopefully not hostile basis, but a regular basis about what they think SLOCOG is or isn't doing in their community?
Well, we do hear that from time to time, for sure. And so, you know, basically, we try to share the range of projects that we have done, you know, from the Cuesta Grade and Santa Maria River Bridge to the widenings on State Route 46 East. We did the 14th Street Bridge in Paso Robles, the interchange at US 101 and State Route 41 in Atascadero, the Quintana Roundabout in Morro Bay, the Los Osos Valley Road interchange here in SLO, the Shell Beach Streetscape in Pismo Beach. When it comes to funding transit, you know, we fund RTA and SoCo Transit and Paso Express and SLO Transit, Morro Bay Transit. Park and ride lots are something that are throughout the region. We did the Grover Beach train station expansion, the Atascadero Transit Center. When it comes to bike and pedestrian, you know, we've been working on the Bob Jones Trail and trying to do more of that. The Pismo Beach Promenade, the Salinas River Trail, the Railroad Safety Trail here in SLO. So, you know, if you identify a specific area, we can tell you some of the projects that were delivered there. Or that, you know, even if it wasn't directly, it certainly touches on because of the regional routes, whether it's through US 101 or 41, things like that.
I would interject only because historically I'm aware of this, is not only was SLOCOG involved in the expansion of the Grover Beach train station, they were involved in the initial existence of a Grover Beach train station at all, and by the way, I think the same is true of even though the Surfliner, and the formerly the San Diego, now the Surfliner train doesn't go that far. And that's as far as Paso Robles, what I'm getting about, is that the fact that there is a train station in Paso Robles and that the Coast Starlight even stops there, I think was a factor that was orchestrated, if you will, or at least prodded along by a number of staff members at SLOCOG to make sure it even happened. That was kind of a joint thing between SLOCOG and the city of Paso Robles, and they needed each other together to do that. which probably let's transition from that into another topic a little bit. And that is that from my experience, San Luis Obispo County, because we are small population wise, even though we are large in square miles, has historically, and this is just true of any smaller county from a population standpoint, doesn't always have the governmental clout on a statewide or larger basis. But I think that for a lot of our listeners, they may not realize that organizations like SLOCOG work together with other similar organizations in other counties. What comes to mind for me with that is LOSAN, which is the Los Angeles, Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo. And exactly what that's exactly short for, I'm not quite sure or how. But that's become that's kind of a rail and alternative transportation planning body. That my observation is San Luis Obispo County would not have a strong voice in if we didn't have something like SLOCOG. We would just be kind of an extraneous thing.
Right. So LOSAN is the administering agency for the Pacific Surfliner. It runs, the Pacific Surfliner runs from San Diego to San Luis Obispo. Each transportation agency along their corridor participates in the LOSAN Board of Directors and their Technical Advisory Committee. So that means the SLOCOG holds seats at their table. And in that capacity, our job is to represent our region and advocate for increased service and reliability, both for residents here and for visitors. So, you know, the aim to further that, actually, I'll even mention to further that cause, but beyond the scope of the Pacific Surfliner, we have a group called the Coast Rail Coordinating Council, CRCC for short. It's a coalition of five transportation planning agencies from Ventura to Santa Cruz. We work together to improve passenger rail along the coast between LA and San Francisco. Together, we have a much stronger and louder voice than we would alone. And that helps us compete against the big mega regions of Los Angeles and San Francisco. But it's also important to note that it's the Central Coast that connects those two mega regions. And right now, the Pacific Surfliner stops short in the sense that it goes from San Diego to SLO. It doesn't go all the way up to the Bay Area. The Coast Starlight, which you mentioned at Paso Robles, is actually the only train that goes through the whole corridor. And that's once a day at its peak, you know, non-pandemic schedules, that's once a day. And its timing is, because it goes through multiple states, actually, the timing for that isn't something that is quite so reliable. And so the CRCC has been pushing for a long time to try and connect those two mega regions better, but all the while providing that much more frequency, reliability, and just train access to our residents here and people that want to visit us too.
So the Central Coast Coalition is just one of those outside groups that we belong to. We also belong to the California Association of Councils of Governments, CalCOG, to raise our voice in California at the national level. And then we belong to the National Association of Regional Councils as well as a regional entity nationwide. So we're always looking for the way to get our voice heard and strengthened in order to bring back the benefits to our region.
How you interact with other counties, probably, and from what you've now both said, and especially what Ann has talked about with regard to the LOSAN corridor people, I suspect if we didn't have a council of governments, our county would not really have an effective way to be part of that discussion at all. I guess I'll put my prejudice out there. My personal observation from experience dealing with LOSAN and with SLOCOG and my personal love of rail travel, I want to tout the fact that I believe if we didn't have a SLOCOG, there's a very good chance that the Surfliner would stop in Santa Barbara and we'd never see it at all. So I think that kind of clout that you talk about has been very critical to us. what I want to kind of segue into with that kind of conversation is, what kind of conversations does SLOCOG have with its sister organization in Santa Barbara County, its sister organization in Monterey County, its sister organizations in Kings and Kern County? Because we're the small, from a tax base standpoint, we're the small player in relation to all three of those other regions. What do you have to do to make sure we stay at the table?
So that's where we get to coordinate and collaborate. And that's one of our key premises as a regional agency. Whenever there's a project or a need or a benefit for our region, we're looking to work with those outside regions as well to improve whatever it is. So the Santa Maria River Bridge is, probably people don't know, it sits entirely in Santa Barbara County. I'm sorry, entirely in San Luis Obispo County. So it's our bridge to take care of. What was it, 20 years ago, it was a two-lane, four-lane bridge. Now it's six lanes. That bridge was improved with $2.5 million of SLOCOG funds. Then there was Caltrans funds and Santa Barbara funds. Santa Barbara actually put in, I believe, $10 million for what is essentially our bridge. So that collaboration certainly was to our benefit, I believe. We also work with Kern County on the need and the improvements along 46 East, another large project that SLOCOG has helped to bring state and federal funds to our region to complete and improve the safety and the capacity of that facility through to our county line. But at the same time, Kern has been working toward the county line towards us. So now we're down to just a small segment of the Y and Antelope grade, about 8 miles left to finish before that old highway becomes a full divided expressway and it becomes much safer.
Well, that's a good point. I think that you've talked about the fact that that there's a statewide association of SLOCOG-like organizations. Mm-hmm. We'll get into the history of SLOCOG a little bit after the break, which we're going to take in a couple of minutes. I suspect Anna's probably worried about it. Yes, we will spend the rest of the program looking more at the upcoming regional transportation plan, because that's a critical thing going on for SLOCOG right now. And I realize that's something that you want to get the public's information and input about. I want to remind our listeners, if you want to be part of this discussion, if you have some questions or some concerns that you'd like to share with our guests from SLOCOG, you can reach us at 805-549-8855. You can email us at voices@kcbx.org. We'll continue the discussion in a moment. I'll turn it over to Brad in the studio, and we'll be back with you shortly.
Thanks, Fred. We'll return to Central Coast Voices in just a moment. From the KCBX community calendar, the nonprofit Justice for Christian is raising money for the Christian Smart Scholarship. It will provide financial assistance for college-bound young women. The scholarship is a way to celebrate and remember Christian's life and her hopes and dreams and ambitions by financially helping other young women realize theirs. To donate to the scholarship fund, visit givebutter.com/Christian Smart.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. This week on Latino USA,
a year after its scheduled release, In the Heights hits theaters across the country.
I speak with director John M. Chu about why he thinks immigrant narratives deserve to be summer blockbusters.
The best parts are the struggle, because that's how you see how tough everyone is. That's how you see how much people care about each other.
That's this week on Latino USA.
On the next Fresh Air, how the right has mobilized against the teaching of critical race theory, the study of systemic racism, leading to the ousting of school board members accused of supporting teaching it, and the drafting of legislation to ban teaching it. We'll talk with NBC reporter Tyler Kincaid about the people, money, and strategy behind this. Join us.
Thanks for joining us today on KCBX. This afternoon, you can hear Latino USA coming up at 2, followed by Fresh Air at 3, and then Marketplace at 4. We'll return to Central Coast Voices in just a moment here on KCBX. Thanks for tuning in today for Central Coast Voices. If you have questions you'd like to have answered, you can send them to us at voices@kcbx.org or call them into us at 805-549-8855. Now let's rejoin Fred and his guests as Central Coast Voices continues here on KCBX. Over to you, Fred.
Thanks, Brad. Glad to be with you today. My guests are James Worthley, the Regional Planning Director for the Regional Planning Division Chief for SLOCOG, Ann Devers, who's the Public Information Officer for SLOCOG. That's the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. If you've just joined us, we gave you a long history of what SLOCOG is all about, which is a regional planning organization made up of all the cities and our county board of supervisors. We want to take a look at what kind of motivated this to be a topic on our table today, because we've had representatives from SLOCOG on talking about regional rideshare before, talking about other planning issues, talking about expansion of bus services and things like that. But what you have on the table right now is the 2023 Regional Transportation Plan. And I'm glad my guests are here because they can explain what that really entails, because I would probably get lost before the preface. So tell us about the high level overview
and then I'll pass it over to James to talk about more in depth. The Regional Transportation Plan, or RTP for short, it's a long-term blueprint for our region's transportation system. It's required every 4 years and plans a minimum of 20 years into the future. The plan identifies the transportation investments that are necessary to support our existing needs, as well as our expected growth in the region. It analyzes transportation trends and regional forecast information regarding population, jobs, and land use. And they use this to create a framework for project priorities in that time frame. I'm going to kick it now to James.
So let's start off with why I think this is an important plan. And Anna mentioned, rattled off 30 or 40 projects that SLOCOG invested and helped to complete throughout the region, all the cities in the county. Each one of those projects began as an idea and as a project identified in a past regional transportation plan, or RTP. So if a project isn't in there in the 2023 RTP, it becomes very difficult, if not impossible, to fund if we're using state or federal funds on it. So it's very important that we get a good list and a correct list of projects and improvements across the board in this plan, because it sets our trajectory for the next 23 years. Now, the plan, I look at it as the plan has four major elements. There is a policy element, and that policy element, the big part of that is the goals. And within our plan right now, we're looking at draft goals, being maintaining the existing infrastructure as being very important, to improve mobility, to support our economy, to improve safety, to foster livable communities, and promote equity, to protect an enhanced environment, and to practice financial stewardship, meaning we want to spend the money that we do receive from the federal and state governments to the best of the ability that we can for the best benefit of our region. Now, we also have a financial element, and in the financial element, we identify how much money will be spent on transportation within our region. Again, the region includes the seven cities and the county. Those monies include federal and state dollars, as well as all of the local dollars that might be spent. So when we look at that mix, we see that, about 50% or more of the money spent on transportation in our region comes from the local agencies. And a large part of it goes straight to local road maintenance. We focus more on the projects and investments that improve local roads, that improve highways, that improve transit, bikeways, rail, ride sharing, vanpooling, carpooling, park and ride lots, et cetera. And that's where we get into how do we spend the money within the action element. And we identify these categories or modes of travel and identify how much money and which projects have the priorities and when those projects might come forward to be receive their investment of federal, state, and or local funds. The last piece of it is the newest piece, and that's the Sustainable Community Strategy, or SCS for short. This piece came into law and it folded into the RTP process just over 10 years ago. And so we're doing our third plan with this SCS in it. And what this is it brings land use into the conversation or the plan of transportation. So prior to this SCS coming in, transportation planners were always frustrated. We're frustrated that a city or a county would approve a land use project somewhere in the county or within their city, and it might be a big box store or a large development, and it may be adjacent to an old interchange or even an at-grade crossing on a freeway, and all of a sudden there's a need for a bigger, better freeway interchange. And using federal or state funds to get that bigger, better interchange, well, a lot of times it takes 5 or 10 or more years to get through. But here we are absorbing the problem because that land use was approved first without any forethought for the transportation system. So now the STS is incorporated within the transportation plan. We can look at differing scenarios of, well, what if growth went this way or that way, and how would it benefit or hurt the transportation system overall? And that's kind of the crux of the SCS and really the overall view of the transportation plan as well.
Well, there's a good opportunity for a lot of input from the community beyond your board, beyond your advisory bodies. And I'm counting on Anna to tell us how people can be part of this discussion, because it's there are a number of surveys. There's a number of ways people can present comments, be heard. So those people who spend a lot of time telling us that they never get listened to, we need to make sure they're listening to us tell them how they can get listened to in this regard.
Well, first and foremost, right now we have 5 surveys up. You can find them at www.slocog.org/engage. Those are going to help us create the framework for developing the RTP. Each survey has a different topic. They include commuting, technology, transportation funding and priorities, health and the environment, housing and new growth. These surveys help us understand how you would like to see us grow, where we should invest, and it gauges your interest in using different transportation modes and other technologies that are on the horizon, like autonomous vehicles. We're also doing, we also have a mapping tool, and it's going to come out in the fall, which I'll have James speak more to. And right now we have a nice speakers bureau where we have different members of our staff that are going out to community advisory councils, city councils, a number of different organizations, just sharing information about who we are, what the regional transportation plan is and does, and how they can be involved in it. You can also stay up to date by checking out our website for project updates. If you subscribe to our newsletter, you can get updates that way. We plan on holding a couple of virtual public workshops, or actually they may or may not be virtual. I can't speak to that right now. and of course, media relations, things like we're doing right now. And so right now, though, we would definitely ask for your input via those 5 surveys. That's really important. Again, that's at slocog.org/engage.
Certainly, we certainly want more and more public input, and that the surveys are the best way to do it right now. We will have new tools up on our website on that same engage page coming in this late fall, early December, to allow for a mapping of projects so people could identify improvements and projects that we have on our radar, that the cities and the county have on their radar, or Caltrans, and they can either identify that they like that, or they can identify new projects that they wish we would put on our radar as well. So that's going to be a new tool that we're working toward. I'd like to also note that we talked about collaborating with our outside the region agencies. We collaborate a lot with partners inside our region as well. We work with all the cities in the county, of course, and Caltrans. We work with the regional transit provider and the local transit providers. We'll work with the chambers and entities like REACH and SLOCAL, and of course, the SLO County Air Pollution Control District, ports and harbors and airports and rail. Partnerships is a big part of developing this plan because it's transportation is a lot of different things. It's not just one thing, and it affects a lot of different people, or you might say everybody. In one way or another, somebody's walking or biking or driving or taking the bus, whether they're young or old or commuting or going to school or to work, or just having things and food or groceries delivered to them. Transportation touches everybody. So this is kind of a large effort to get us there.
I might also, I just wanted to add one more thing. We also have a steering committee for the regional transportation plan. It engages a broad and diverse cross-section of the region's organizations and organizations that represent different populations within our communities. James, would you like to speak a little more to the RTP steering committee?
Sure. So we've really found some value in bringing together, a dozen, 16 individuals that really aren't deeply involved in transportation in their day-to-day lives in terms of planning or building. And so we've brought together members with differing areas of focus from geographically spread across the county from San Miguel all the way down into Pomo. So we've got people that focus or have a focus on business and tourism and housing or economic development or the environment. We have people that focus primarily for biking and walking and transit, or agriculture, or health and disadvantaged communities. So we bring all these people together. We share very much a lot of the plan with them of here's how we're developing the plan and where we're going with it. What do you think? And they're helping to drive this ship a little bit and where we're going. And it then brings these people a better understanding of transportation in the region and the regional transportation plan as a whole.
An area that I suspect I'll have an opinion about that you would like to stay away from, and for very good reason when I say it. There are a number of bodies that are also advisory to SLOCOG that people may not realize even exist, even though we fall under the same Brown Act public meeting criteria. As I said earlier, I'm part of the Citizens Transportation Advisory Committee. There is also a Social Services Transportation Advisory Committee. And there's the TTAC, which is the technical one. The technical one is mostly staff members and planning staff members from city and the county that get together. But the other two are more community oriented. The part that I figured you guys would want to stay away from that I want to mention is the fact that all the representatives on the Citizens Transportation Advisory Committee are either appointed by their board of supervisor for where they live, or their city council for where they live, or I believe there are three of us who are at-large members. When I lived in Grover Beach but was off the council, I was the Grover Beach delegate for a while. When I left, moved out of Grover Beach, I became an at-large delegate and took one of those spots. But I have to say this, and this is what, but I'm sure the two of you want to stay away from, that the citizens body that is involved in that tends to have the same members for a very, very long time. And they tend to be retirement age males. And I would like to see some more diversity on that body, because I believe that will give more diversity to what is heard and said by SLOCOG. Again, that may have been an area that was too gray for you guys to discuss.
I think it would be fair to say that we would like that too, but they are So many members of that particular committee, as you just stated, are appointed by the city and as well as the county districts. So we don't have so much control over that.
No, but to our listeners, in a lot of cases, they may not realize that those positions even exist under that kind of purview. I suspect that there are some city representatives that if their city council said, gee, how much longer would you like to be here? The answer they may get is until you find somebody else who'd like the position, which are sometimes difficult to fill. We have had vacancies from cities. We've had at-large vacancies. And the area I was mostly concerned about was that I didn't want you guys to have to judge or address was my observation that it's mostly old retired male farts that are there, and we don't have much diversity of that body.
Well, first of all, we appreciate anybody and everybody that comes and provides us input on that body, because it's valuable information that we use and take and integrate often. I know that Supervisor Don Ortiz Legg was one of those members.
That's true.
Way back when. Definitely not an old male. and we are actually developing a equity assessment for SLOCOG, and we'll be reviewing that plan with our board in August. And one of the recommendations might be to mix up or add to our advisory committee's membership to try to get and entice a more diverse group to be part of it.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about what kind of parts of the SLOCOG mission get examined by the Social Services Advisory Committee?
Their primary focus is on transit, public transit.
So how public transit affects people who may have limited mobility issues,
issues from that standpoint. Too. Yes.
And I guess for clarification, all three of those bodies meet prior to every SLOCOG agenda meeting of your entire board. So SLOCOG gets input from all of those organizations before there's a public meeting on a topic, and the minutes and the recommendations from those bodies are indeed shared publicly.
That's correct. And those bodies are also public meetings as well.
Yes. So you can get involved at the TAC level if you wanted to before going to a board meeting. That is correct.
Well, and that's a good point, because what I would suggest is if you're interested in serving on a TAC in one of the capacities available, you certainly are welcome to come to the meetings and take a look at what's said and what's done and have an opinion if you want.
I'm actually going to speak to that just a little bit more, just to share that.
Please do,
Earlier this year, we put out the 2021 Public Participation Plan. And that's a great tool for the public to look at and consult, because it really offers you a nice understanding of who we are, our representation, how they can have a voice, how they can participate, and also the other services and programs that are out there that either we offer or have played a big part in. And so I would really encourage folks to take a look at that. This particular iteration is really easy to read, lots of diagrams and pictures to help you understand our processes. And anyhow, I think that's a great tool for really understanding how to engage with us and understand what we do. And if you go to our website, slocog.org, actually, you can find it quite easily. There's a slider up right now that if you click on that image, it'll take you right to the page where that's housed. And it goes on to explain those committee structures that you were just talking about.
Yeah. An observation from my standpoint, and that is, I'm aware of the fact that for a long, long time, there has been tremendous longevity of staff at SLOCOG. Your previous executive director was basically the director of SLOCOG back when SLOCOG didn't exist as a standalone agency. It was kind of an arm of the engineering department of the San Luis Obispo County. That was Ron DeCarli, who retired a couple of years ago. I can't recall, but I think Pete Rogers, your current executive director, has basically spent his entire career in public planning as a SLOCOG staff member. You don't see a lot of turnover of staff. People who work for the agency seem to like to work for the agency and appreciate the effort they can make and the difference that they can make. And I commend you on that. There's an awful lot of government agencies that wish that was something that happened on a regular basis.
Having said that, we've had a few new fresh faces in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Yeah, you've had a lot of fresh faces, I think, because a lot of people have retired. Some people have moved on to different situations as it becomes a case. It's from my standpoint, SLOCOG has been a wonderful organization to work with, and what SLOCOG does benefits us all. And I don't think anybody should feel like what SLOCOG does makes them do or participate in anything that they didn't want to. It becomes just more of a public discussion and a public dialogue. I have been disappointed for decades that more people don't show up at the SLOCOG meetings on a monthly basis, every other month, just about. And I guess we might want to interject just for some fair shout out, the regional transportation arm of SLOCOG, which is, SLOCOG meets every other month. And then the regional transit agencies board, which is a very similar makeup to SLOCOG, meets on the alternate months, which means people that can find a way to put it on their calendar can actually put their input into both organizations, SLOCOG from a planning standpoint, regional transportation from a standpoint of what's going on with our buses on a regular basis. And I'd encourage people to do so.
And he's referring to the regional transit system for RTA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember what the RTA board is actually called. I guess it's the RTA board. But, yeah. So thank you. As our listeners know, I talk too much, which is not a big surprise. But I try and get out of the way in the last few minutes of the program to make sure that you, as my guests, get an opportunity to make sure that people have some takeaway information. And in some cases, that's things that we haven't put into enough detail, but you want to make sure people remember. Anna, I'll start with you.
Okay. So developing a plan like the regional transportation plan, it takes a lot. It takes a lot of time. We've been working on the plan for almost a year, and we've got probably more than a year before we have a public review draft out. It takes a lot of meetings, pretty much every meeting of the board where we're going to. It takes a lot of involvement from committee members and advisory committee members and partner agencies and our jurisdictions, and a whole lot of state and federal agency involvement and oversight, as you can imagine. We always seem to hope for and want more public involvement. So we want to encourage you, your listeners, to jump in and be part of this process. Because in the end, what we're looking for is a comprehensive, forward-looking plan that will, when implemented, improve all modes of transportation for our region. I'll let Anna speak to it now too.
Yeah, so basically we want your involvement. We want you to stay in touch. We want you to reach out and contact us. You know, if you have any questions, you can reach out to PIO@slowcog.org. You can give us a call. You can follow us on social media to stay up to date with us. We have platforms on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram. Instagram is really more Rideshare, actually. But Rideshare also has their own social media platforms. We have those separately. Also, that slowcog.org/engage webpage is where you can take those 5 surveys that we told you about. And this is a constant web link. So even when those 5 surveys go away, slowcog.org/engage will stay. And there will be other tools and surveys that go up there on a regular basis. So periodically, feel free to check in and take them. But right now, we want you to jump on and take those 5 surveys again. That's www.slowcog.org/engage. And please weigh in on commuting, technology, transportation, funding and priorities, health and the environment, housing and new growth. It will help us chart a direction for our regional transportation plan. That's it.
Thank you. I want to, before I get into my closing comments, I want to interject something. And that is that in my experience involved in politics for over 40 years, I have discovered that SLOCOG in this county is probably one of the most effective quasi-political organizations that is really dealt with as non-political. Your board of supervisors that sometimes can bicker among themselves, your city councils that can bicker among themselves, happen often. But historically, SLOCOG has been one of the most apolitical organizations that I've seen anywhere. And I want to commend both SLOCOG and the board of SLOCOG on keeping that way. It's made it a pleasure to work with SLOCOG on a lot of topics and projects over the years. So I thank you from that standpoint. This has been Central Coast Voices. I thank you all for joining us. I want to remind you that next week's program is going to be the future of democracy in America. Chris Kington Barker is taking the week off next week, so I'll be back with you again. You get me 2 weeks in a row. And we're going to talk about how to celebrate Independence Day by looking at really what the entire experiment of democracy is. I have 2 guests from the Cal Poly Political Science Department, and we are going to talk about the experiment we call democracy, the challenges that are faced by democracy now and in the future, and some of the perils and promises of the reform movement in a lot of areas of our government. And that's the discussion we're going to have next week in honor of Independence Day. That's on July 1st, which is next Thursday, and that'll be part of the discussion. Chris Kington Barker will be back with us in about 3 weeks. And we'll have continuing discussions, of course, every week. Central Coast Voices, as you know, is a production of Action for Healthy Communities, a project of the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. I'm in collaboration with KCBX. If we did not have public radio NPR affiliate KCBX, we would not have the opportunity for this kind of programming. You can reach us to give us input about the program and future topic suggestions at voices@kcbx.org. Thank you to Brad Kyle, our in-studio engineer. He's been persevering through Zoom for a long, long time. We'll be back in person very shortly, hopefully. And thank you to my guests today, James Worthley and Anna Devers. It has really been a pleasure talking with you about a topic that obviously I am fond of. And this has been Central Coast Voices. We'll be with you next week.